Easteris, the Motorola radio lying on the seat next to him squawked with Rich Hastings' voice.
Go for Reese.
There's a man here to see you. A Yank. Over.
Shit.
It had been 2 months since Solomon's encounter with the poacher's bullet, and it would be another month until he was back in the field. It was also Reese's first exposure to anyone outside the hunting concession since his arrival.
Had to happen sooner or later.
Check. Did he say who he was?
Negative. He was polite but firm, eh? One of us, from the looks of him. I tried to run him off, but he knows you're here. Over.
Roger that. I'll be there in an hour. Reese out. Reese stopped the cruiser and explained to Gona that he needed to head back to camp. Gona nodded down from the high seat and didn't ask any questions. Reese did a 3-point turn in an open area and began making his way back, though he wasn't exactly in a rush to see whoever it was who was waiting for him. If they knew he was here, there was no sense trying to make a run for it. They'd have UAVs or other assets on him, and Reese had done enough running. He saw a lone, black Land Rover Defender 110 parked in front of the lodge as he pulled into camp. At least whoever had come for him had good taste in vehicles. Instead of pulling around to the back, he stopped the truck next to the Defender and walked up the path toward the broad veranda. The door opened, and a man his own age and height stepped out. Sandy hair fell below his battered Florida Gators ball cap, and his reddish beard betrayed a few flecks of gray. He was dressed in a short-sleeved plaid shirt and jeans and wore Salomon hiking boots. Though he didn't see a handgun, Reese knew there would be one concealed on his right side at the 4 o'clock position, or possibly in an appendix rig just beneath his shirt. His eyes narrowed in recognition as Reese approached the stone steps. Reese stopped and looked up at his old friend, Navy SEAL Senior Chief Freddie Strain.
"I guess you didn't come all this way just to kill me."
"Nah, Reese. If they wanted you dead, they would have droned your ass weeks ago."
The men stood 5 yards from each other, Strain looking down at Reese from the elevated deck. The last time Reese had seen him was months ago, when elements of the United States government had ordered Strain's SEAL team to hunt down and capture or kill their former teammate before he eliminated any more of the conspirators who had planned the killing of his family and SEAL troop. Strain had maneuvered right into Reese's ambush, and Reese had let him live. Neither man spoke for what seemed like an eternity. This time it was Strain who broke the silence.
"Speaking of killing, thanks for not blowing those claymores. I should have known better than to have rolled in there like we owned the place. You had us dead to rights."
"You weren't on my list."
"Thank God for that."
"It's good to see you, brother."
Strain's stoic expression broke into a wide grin.
"You too, Senior,"
Reese smiled, climbing the steps to shake Freddy's outstretched hand before embracing him in a hug.
"Damn, Reese, you going for the Jesus look?"
Strain pointed at his friend's shoulder-length, sun-bleached hair and scraggly beard.
"Something like that. Grooming hasn't been a high priority lately."
"I wouldn't think so. Reese, I'm really sorry about Lauren and Lucy. I don't even know what to say to you other than that."
There was an uncomfortable pause as each man considered how to transition to the meat of the conversation. Finally, Reese simply nodded.
"So how'd you find me?"
"Well, it certainly took some doing,"
Freddy answered, relieved to be moving on.
"Let's grab a drink," Reese said, nodding toward the main lodge.
"I think I need one," Freddy said and smiled. "You might too when I tell you why I'm here. Any Basil Haydens?"
"I might be able to scrounge some up," Reese said. "We are fairly well provisioned in that department."
The two frogmen moved through the lodge where Strain stopped to pick up his backpack and out into the dining area. Reese poured 2 fingers of the brown liquid for his friend and opened himself a can of McMahon beer, known locally as 2M. Taking a seat at the bar that overlooked the river below, he motioned for his former teammate to join him.
"If someone had to find me,
I'm glad it was you, Rhys offered as they touched drinks. So, Rhys led off again. How did you do it?
Well, the working theory was that Liz dropped you off somewhere after you took care of Horn, Hartley, and Ben on Fisher's Island. We couldn't confirm that since she's still on a nice estate in Mexico protected by an army of lawyers, courtesy of your buddy Marco.
He's a good one, that Marco, Rhys said, taking another sip of Mozambique's finest.
Turns out he's a little more than just a good businessman, and even I'm not cleared to know exactly what he's involved with, but my guess would be he's a highly placed DEA asset. I don't have a need to know, so that really is just a guess.
I'd bet it's a good guess, Rhys confirmed.
Well, we would never have figured out that you liberated the Hastings' boat if a few other pieces hadn't fallen into place. Even if we had, we would have assumed you were killed at sea in the storm the night of your escape. Never in a million years would we have thought to look for you here, Fred continued, gesturing at the surrounding wilderness.
It was a bit of a trek, Rhys admitted with a smile.
I'll say. I'd love to hear how you did it at some point.
Trade secrets, my friend.
And maybe a bit of luck.
To be honest, it was a lot of luck.
They say it's better to be lucky than good, Rhys.
Isn't that the truth? But you didn't find me because some yacht club finally noticed a boat went missing.
True. It started with the East African desk at the agency coordinating with the NSA on Chinese interests in Mozambique. The signals guys intercepted a series of Chinese intelligence reports detailing a major shift in anti-poaching efforts on this particular concession. The meat poachers feed the workers the Chinese use to support their mining and logging operations, and it was beginning to impact their productivity.
It's nice to know it was working.
Yeah, enough for them to mention it to hire. Now that alone would never have raised any eyebrows, but when a white guy with an American accent claiming to be a former Canadian Army medic brings a wounded tracker into an East African medical clinic without a good explanation as to why he knows how to do a tension pneumothorax and apply an Asherman chest seal, well, that's not something they see every day. Unfortunately for you, the doctor that you encountered is an MI6 asset.
Are you kidding me? Is there anyone in this country who isn't some kind of spook?
You would have gotten away clean not very long ago, but our intelligence collection capability has grown exponentially over the years. That, along with our ability to sift through mountains of information, can now be done at speeds unheard of in the past.
I still don't see how a cable saying the Chinese have some hungry workers, coupled with a stitched-up game reserve tracker, led them to believe I somehow made it from New York to Moe's when they weren't looking for me here to begin with.
It wasn't them, Rhys. It was me.
Rhys looked quizzically at his former sniper school spotter. I know you, remember? And I know Rafe. And I know that you two spent time at Rafe's uncle's hunting operation in Africa when you were in college together.
Thanks for remembering, Rhys said sarcastically, taking another long drink. Africa got me thinking. So I checked on all Rafe's family's East Coast-based planes and boats. Guess which one disappeared the same night you did?
You missed your calling, Freddy. You should have been a detective.
Maybe in my next life. And Rhys, next time you kill the Secretary of Defense and unravel the biggest government conspiracy in modern history, you might not want to give your name as Phil Bucklew to a British spy at an East African medical clinic.
Rhys shook his head.
Yeah, using the name of one of the legends of naval special warfare was probably not the best move. After that, we put up a UAV and have had you under surveillance for the past couple weeks. Facial recognition works even from 15,000 feet.
Lucky me.
Freddy paused. I guess you know I didn't come all the way here to go hunting with you. I figured you were here to kill me or arrest me. I'm guessing arrest me. That's where this gets complicated. I'm leaving here as soon as we're done, but I'm not dragging you out against your will. Let me run this by you and you can make the call. You'll want to hear it all, though.
Doesn't seem like I have much of a choice.
I have something I need you to see, Freddy said, sliding off his bar stool and motioning for Reese to follow him. Might want to snag a couple more drinks.
Strain pulled a tin of Copenhagen from the pocket of his jeans and packed it with several flicks of his wrist. He opened the tin and put a pinch of tobacco between his lip and gum before offering the can to Reese, who shook his head.
When did you start dipping?
When a wife made me quit drinking, Fred responded, motioning to the bourbon in his hand with a gleam in his eye.
I think she meant only in the States, though.
I'm absolutely sure that's what she meant. How is Joni?
She's good, man. She never really loved Virginia Beach, so she was happy when I got out and could live wherever she wanted. We're down in South Carolina near her family.
So you're not at the command?
No, I got out a few months back. Things got really weird after you skipped town. Your friend Katie's reporting put the spotlight on all of the Hartley's shenanigans, and the shit rolled downhill pretty hard.
I don't blame you for what you did, Reese. If we had had any idea what the real story was, we'd have helped you knock those bastards off instead of targeting you.
Reese nodded. So I guess I'm public enemy number one.
Yes and no. When the whole story came out, it certainly eased up the pressure to find you or confirm your death at sea. The conversation shifted to the Hartleys, the capstone finance operation, and all that. Even the conspiracy theory people started looking mainstream. You became a little bit of a Robin Hood type. There were James Reese sightings everywhere. You were like Elvis for a while.
What about my friends? Reese asked, not mentioning names.
The reporter, Katie? She's untouchable, at least for now. No one would go near her with a 10-foot pole. She had the best law firms in the country lining up to insulate her from questioning by any government investigators. DOJ is ready to go after your friend Liz Riley and have her extradited to the U.S., but the president has them at bay for now.
Why would the president do that? Wasn't he part of Hartley's bunch?
Jesus, you don't know, do you?
Strain looked bewildered.
Know what?
That the president resigned over this whole thing.
What? That's crazy.
Yep. The fact that he was letting the SecDef run DOD like it was her own kingdom and piggy bank was too much for even the media.
How could you not have heard about that?
Guess I just wasn't looking. You can really lose yourself out here, Reese said, gesturing to their surroundings. The only news comes in over a radio in the main office, and most all of that is local. This is the land that time forgot.
Well, the long and the short of it is the media loved a good story even more than they loved the administration. The Republicans in Congress had all of the wives and kids of the dead guys from your troop on TV demanding his resignation, and it worked. He stepped down and Roger Grimes, the VP, took over to finish out his term. He's a good guy, old Army 06 that they put on the ticket to keep Middle America happy. He never really fit in with the old boss, and he's already said he's not running for re-election. The parties are going nuts. Hartley was the Dems' chosen one, and with her gone, they're slashing each other's throats trying to posture for the job. The Republicans smell blood, and half the governors in the country are now looking to run. It will be a crazy primary on both sides. Anybody could win. Fun to watch for a political junkie like me.
I still can't believe you haven't heard any of this.
Look around, Reese said. No internet, no newspapers. Main concerns here are the environment, the animals, and poaching.
Well, whether you wanted to or not, you changed the course of U.S. political history.
I wasn't trying to take down the system. They just needed to pay for what they did to my troop and my family. They got what they deserved.
I agree. We were part of the investigation, since they had us out looking for you on domestic soil. The entire command had to stand down. I had 22 years in and the option to take this job, so I made the leap.
So you're with the agency now?
Yep. And that's why I'm here, even though I'm kind of a new guy. You ready to hear my sales pitch?
Reese nodded. Strain took an iPad from his backpack, entered a long passcode, and selected an icon on the screen.
You came to Mozambique to show me a PowerPoint?
Strain laughed. High-tech, Reese, our Manila envelope days are over.
Strain held the screen so that Reese could see it. It was a file image of Kingston Market fully decorated for Christmas. Strain swiped the surface to advance to the next photo and a close-up picture of a deceased 8-year-old girl in a pink winter coat filled the screen. The next image was an aerial view of the market post-attack.
Kingston Market on the outskirts of London. They hit a Christmas event with a VBIED and bottlenecked the crowd here at the other end. Two guys with PKMs opened up on the survivors from these two rooftops and then blew themselves up with S-vests. It was bad. Really bad. They killed close to 300 people outright, with more dying later in the hospitals. Total dead was 378. Hundreds more were wounded. A lot of amputations. More than half of the victims were kids.
Reese looked away from the screen.
Yeah, man, bad stuff. Strain continued. Not only did they kill and wound all those innocent people, they crippled the brick-and-mortar retail economy all over the West. People were scared to go Christmas shopping. The malls were empty despite tons of beefed-up security. The stock markets got spooked. The global impact of these attacks was enormous.
I'm honestly surprised that we don't see this kind of attack more often, Reese said solemnly.
I agree with you.
Who's behind it? ISIS?
They took credit, of course, but every jihadist organization in the book is calling themselves ISIS now. This is actually a little more organized than the typical ISIS-inspired attack by a bunch of lone wolf types affiliated through social media. This is a real network, AQ in Europe. Check this one out.
Strain moved to another series of images.
Right after the market attack, they hit a formation of British paras with a mortar barrage during an awards ceremony. Poor guys had just returned from Afghanistan and got ripped up right before their Christmas leave. Only reason they didn't kill the Prince of Wales is that his motorcade arrived late.
So this isn't a one-off?
Nope. As a matter of fact, they just killed the NATO commander in Brussels, an Army four-star. They blew him up in front of his wife. He was all set to retire, too. Good guy, from what I understand.
Bastards, Reese said, shaking his head.
But what does this have to do with me? The charge that killed the general, it was delivered via drone.
What?
That's right. Defeated the armor in his vehicle by putting a drone on the roof with a shaped charge. An EFP sliced him in two, same way you killed that Jaish al-Mahdi lieutenant in Iraq back in 06.
That was an agency deal, buddy. And that drone was huge. Experimental CIA bird, if I remember correctly.
You're right. Technology has come a long way since then. UAVs are smaller, more powerful, GPS programmable, but the idea is the same, so we started tracking down everyone involved in your op in Baghdad. We think you know the cell leader responsible for the NATO attack.
Strain swiped to display an image, obviously taken by a surveillance team with a long telephoto lens. No way. Is that Mo? Reese asked, unable to contain his surprise at the photo of his old comrade.
That's right, your buddy Mohammed Farouk from Baghdad. The agency trained him to build mini EFPs and taught him how to fly a drone to deliver an explosive payload. He fell off the radar back in the summer of 2014 when ISIS started sweeping across Iraq. He'd worked with the coalition and would be a dead man if they caught him, probably tortured first. He was rumored to be in Syria working with the al-Nusra Front, an anti-Assad group now called Jabhat Fateh al-Sham. Next thing you know, AISI spots him in Italy, which is where this photo came from. They lost track of him after that, and no one thought much of it until these attacks.
What makes you think he was involved? Why wouldn't he just disappear? Mo's no terrorist.
MI5's assets